Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Armada in military history is assembled in England for an assault on Hitler's fortress Europe. For this long-awaited D-Day, the Allies have assembled 12,000 planes to protect a surface force of 4,000 ships, all under the supreme command of General Dwight D. Eisenhower, who has British General Montgomery at his side. The Allied forces have nearly 3 million troops trained for the assault, and British and U.S. planes bomb the French coast around the clock, dropping 9,000 tons of explosives during the few hours before the landing. Some force of 1,000 planes and gliders thrusts deep into France to drop men of the U.S. 101st and 82nd Airborne and the British 6th. Their might darkens the skies over Normandy. The Allies have complete control of the air and cover the surface forces as Allied troops pile into landing craft to hit the coast from Cherbourg to Le Havre. As they prepare to move in, 500 warships lay down a withering barrage. Troops move in aboard LCTs and LSTs, and it's the beginning of the end for Hitler's dreams of world conquest. German resistance proves less than was feared, and wave after wave hits the beach. Casualties were heavy in those early hours, but the Allies were on their way to Berlin. The stupendous attack on the fortified coast split the German high command. General Rommel wanted to move his forces to the beaches. Von Rundstedt wanted to wait until the Allies moved inland. When they finally decided on action, it was too late. The beachhead had been firmly established. Less than a year later, General Eisenhower had Germany's unconditional surrender. D-Day will stand in history as one of the greatest military feats of all time. The determination of free men to triumph over tyranny rose to new heights on the beaches of Normandy.
Good evening, shipmates, and welcome to the program. Welcome aboard this special D-Day show. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we still have 958 days, 4 hours, 54 minutes, and 7 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. And then we got to get to work. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. Now remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program today? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. You know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet Earth, it's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, again, today is no exception. So, in order to combat that, we must lift our jib and get our freedom shipping away. And here we are. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, ship colors. All right, tonight, I want to start off to personally thank all of those that fought, not only on the Battle of D-Day, but all battles, all of them. They literally gave their lives fighting to secure my freedom. This is how I feel. They gave their lives for me. This is how I feel. So when I was born just 20 years after the Battle of D-Day, me, because of what they did, I was able to be born a free man in a free country. And I refuse, flat refuse, to play any clips of that president speaking at Normandy earlier today. This man is a disgrace to this country. He has been working feverishly to take away all the freedoms and liberties that all those who died and fought to preserve for me, for you, for all of us. I tried listening to it. I really did. And I couldn't. I tried browsing through it. Maybe there was something that could catch my attention. The words were hollow. They were shallow. They were meaningless. They didn't come from the heart. They came from a teleprompter. I don't know. Maybe it was a long flight over there in that extra comfortable Air Force One. He's got a bed. He's got a kitchen. He's got servants. I mean, I don't know. He looked tired. He didn't seem into it. He didn't really seem to me. He seemed uncomfortable. I guess he doesn't like having to praise people who fight for freedom. I guess maybe that's what it is. But I flat refuse to play any of his clips today, not on a day like today. Today is a solemn day to remember those who fought for you. And if they did not win World War II, the Allies, we did not win. Who knows what language we'd be speaking? I don't know. Maybe I'd be speaking my native tongue of German? I don't know. Maybe I'd be speaking Japanese right now? I don't know. But if we don't stop this president, we're going to be speaking Taliban. And that's not hyperbole. So I flat refuse to play anything from him today. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to honor those who fought in that battle 70 years ago today. Right now, 70 years ago to this day right now, those beaches are filled with nothing but blood and dead bodies. So we're going to honor those who fought in that battle 70 years ago today by thanking them in our hearts, in our souls. Real thanks, not just a casual, hey, thanks. Yeah, thanks for your service. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Now I'm off to go watch Kim Kardashian. Thanks. Honoring and respecting their sacrifice by remaining free. What they did to this is the most precious gift that they gave us, that they fought and they died for. They gave us that freedom by fighting for us. And we're just going to piss it away by giving the enemy weapons, giving the enemy money, giving their generals back after we captured them? No thanks, not for me. I'm going to respect what they did, and I'm going to honor what they did, and I'm never going to forget what they did for me. I flat refuse to have those men die in vain for me. I do respect what you did. Without your valor and determination to defeat tyranny across the globe, I would not be speaking here right now on the air. And if I were, it certainly wouldn't be in English. I know no one from D-Day is listening to this show. Pretty sure about that. But if for some oddball chance that they are, I want to thank you. I respect what you did. I respect the freedom that you preserved for me. Thank you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I will remain free because you gave it to me. You fought for me. I will not have you die in vain. I will remain free. And if I have to die to remain free, then so be it. So instead of rehashing all the stuff that we've already know, we've already heard 1.5 million times, and blah, 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 I want to try and see if I can't do something a little bit different. See if we can cover some stuff that maybe we did not know about D-Day. So I did a little bit of homework. Some things I did know, and some things I didn't. Some stuff was kind of interesting. The first, and I have only known this for a long time, of course, you know, military man, and I just knew it. But D in D-Day simply stands for day. That's what it means. D-Day, H-hour. It's a military term that was used, started in World War I for military operations. It's to keep things secret. So instead of saying we're going to go attack the enemy at this particular time, this particular day, they say D-Day, an H-hour. And they don't let you know when it is until it's time to do it. And most of those men that went across the English Channel and invaded Normandy, they didn't know where they were going until they got there. It was the most kept secret, the biggest kept secret on planet Earth. And that was a big invasion. The biggest military invasion in military history. Operation Overlord, that was the actual code name for D-Day, if you didn't know that. It was actually scheduled for June 5th. I don't know if anybody knew that. I did. I remembered that. There was a lot of bad weather and rough seas, so they just waited till the next day. But it was supposed to be the 5th. August 19th, 1942. See, D-Day was actually in the makings for several years, and they did rehearse it several times. A raid on the French port of Dieppe, I guess is how you pronounce it, I don't speak French, that resulted in heavy losses convinces D-Day planners to land on the beaches. So decisions and preparations for an Allied invasion across the English Channel began August 19, 1942. So it was a little over 2 years, about 2 years or so in the works. Invasion of Normandy, until now, is the largest sea invasion in history. Almost 3 million troops crossing the English Channel. 3 million troops. 6,603 American casualties. Wow. Wow. That's one day. Wow. The span was over 60 miles. I think it was 61.7 miles. Wow. That's one hell of an invasion, man. I mean, when you look at the videos and the film and the pictures of that, you can kind of get a little bit of a, you know, what it was like, but no, not with that. No, not if you really, really think about it. You can't describe it. You can't imagine what it would be like unless you were there. The Allies landed around, 156,000 troops in Normandy. No, one day. The Americans landed approximately 73,000 on Utah Beach, 34,250 on Omaha Beach, and almost 16,000 airborne. On the British and Canadian beaches, 83,000 were landed on, I'm not sure which ones they were, I think it was over, but 24,970 were on Gulf Beach. There was five beaches. Nevada Beach, I do know that, Nevada Beach was not used. But Utah Beach came in at the last moment. They wanted to take over a natural harbor. They had several makeshift harbors. God, dog, what was the name of that? Mulholland or something with an M? I can't remember. But they had fake harbors in there so they could get in there. But 24 or 25,000 on Gold Beach, 21,000 on Juneau Beach, 29,000 on Sword Beach. Other Allied troops also took on that day in the days and weeks that followed as part of a Battle of Normandy. These included forces from Australia, Belgium, Czechoslovakia, France, Greece, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, and Poland. Anne Frank, I don't know if anybody knew this, but Anne Frank actually wrote about D-Day in her diary. On June 6, 1944, after hearing the news on a secret radio, she had a radio. I did that play when I was in, God almighty, I think I was 7th grade, 8th grade. I did that play. It was a contest. And I played the father. But this day, this is what came over. This is what she wrote. She wrote down what she heard on the radio. This is D-Day. This is from the BBC. This is D-Day. Came the announcement over the British radio, the invasion has begun. According to the German news, British paratroops have landed on the French coast. British landing craft are in battle with German Navy. Great commotion in the secret annex. With the long-awaited liberation that has been talked of so much, but will still seems too wonderful. Too much like a fairy tale. Will this ever come true? Could we be granted victory this year, 1944? We don't know yet, but hope is revived within us. It gives us fresh courage and makes us strong again. Well, that was pretty interesting. I found that out today. I did not know Anne Frank wrote about D-Day in her diary. That's interesting. Louisiana entrepreneur Andrew Jackson Higgins designed a small, shallow draft boats in the 1920s. He wanted to rescue the Mississippi River flood victims. And that's what rivers do. They flood. And that's another reason why New Orleans, look, you got, I'm sorry, but what happened in Katrina, unfortunately, you can put that down. It was man-made. It was man-caused. Those rivers are supposed to flood. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. But this Mr. Higgins tried for years to sell his boats to the United States military, but he was rejected repeatedly. And at last, the Marine Corps selected the flat-bottom landing craft for troop landings on Pacific beaches. Higgins, who had paid heavily out of pocket to promote his boats, finally landed a government contract, and his factories produced over 20,000 of these vessels. Including all of the vessels, the landing crafts for D-Day. That's pretty interesting. They also got a monument in New Orleans going up, a D-Day monument. I don't know if it's built yet. I just know that they're building one in New Orleans. Whether it's done yet or not, I don't know. 195,000 Navy personnel manned 6,939 Navy vessels, including 1,200 warships and 15 hospital ships. Unbelievable. 17 million maps supported the mission. 17 million maps. Where the hell did they put them all? Wow. 9,386 graves in the American cemetery in France. Each grave faces west towards America. Wow. I know there's a lot of graves all over. There's a lot of mass graves in France and all over Europe, actually. 307 of those graves contain the remains of unknown soldiers. Some of these men were blown to bits, man. And this president wants to give away that freedom that they fought for? To give it to the Taliban? Give it to all of our other enemies? Give the internet over to Putin? Which I guess he was there today with Putin and it was kind of an awkward moment for him. He's afraid of Putin. But he's acting all big and tough. This is what I don't understand about this guy. He acts all big and tough, but he hides behind that teleprompter of his. Hides behind his little magic pen and his little magic phone. But when the Taliban calls up and they give him a little threat, okay, don't, I'll give you your generals back. A real commander-in-chief never would have done that. But we don't have one of those. We haven't had a real commander-in-chief since Reagan, as far as I'm concerned. And we need another one. We need a big one. Now. That's going to be up to us. If we don't do our due diligence, we're never going to get the right person in there. We've got to do this. This is up to us, not up to the government. We allowed the government to do this to ourselves. So if we're going to fix it, we have to fix it, not the government. This is our job. 4,868 British are buried. Wow. 1,557 names are listed in the Garden of Missing for those who were never found. Some of them never found. A lot of them died in the water. So God only knows what happened. Maybe sharks got them. Who knows? They went back out to sea with somehow floated out there. God only knows. But it was massive chaos. That would have been the most, I mean, just thinking about it. I mean, I had some scary moments in the Navy in the Persian Gulf. And there was a lot of nights where, you know, we did not sleep at all. Days, nights, you didn't sleep. You knew you had silkworm missiles locked on you. And you know for a fact that, hey, look, those weapons sometimes don't actually work. One of those silkworm missiles were to hit our ship, and we were right there on the coast of Iran. Going down there through Pakistan, right there on the coast, man. That's some scary stuff. Nothing compared to what they did, though. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I thought I had some scary moments. Okay, fine. Yeah, for at the time, yeah. And you can't sleep. When you're in fear, you can't sleep. You can't sleep at all. You can't. It's impossible. I can't. Drew, I mean, I don't know. I just, honest to God, I just don't know. But I respect those men that did it. And I'm going to honor and respect them by remaining free. And so should you. By the end of the Normandy campaign, 28,000 airmen were killed. 127 planes were lost on that day. 946 Canadians lost their lives. 25 Australians. I didn't know they had that low a number. I thought they had more troops, but there was only 25 Australians that fought on those beaches, and only six of them died. That's pretty interesting. 3,500 tons of soap were dropped. 3,500 tons of soap. This would be available for the military for the next 4 months as the battles kept continuing. I mean, neither do WASH. I mean, I know you're in battle, but, you know, the Taliban don't WASH, but Americans do. Now, here's something else here. I wanted to find out how many, see if there's any famous people. I've known one that was a famous person that fought on the beaches that day. So I wanted to find out if there was more. Peter Thomas, the voiceover artist for Forensic Files, the ESPN Monday Night Football commercials, he fought on the beaches of Normandy. Here's another one. J.D. Salinger, staff sergeant with the U.S. Army, the author of Catcher in the Rye. He interrogated Nazi prisoners, fought in the Battle of the Bulge, and was one of the first of our soldiers to enter the concentration camp at Dachau. I guess is how you pronounce it. He served with the United States Army Single Corps and Counterintelligence Corps. He also had six chapters on him in the Battle of D-Day. Imagine that. Here this guy's got, where the hell did he put it? He put it, I guess, in his backpack or something. I don't know. But this guy had six chapters of Catcher in the Rye on him when he's fighting. That's pretty interesting. I thought that was pretty weird. Teddy Roosevelt Jr. He was a brigadier general. Wow. He fought. He did a lot of stuff, too. He was the only general in the United States Army to attack in the first wave. The only general. And he was the oldest person at age 57 to be in that attack. Most of those men were 19, 18, some of them even younger than that. These were boys. Most of them were not men yet. They were teenagers. They were kids. And they fought for us. Children, basically. Still not completely matured yet. Still not fully grown yet. And they fought for us. So for that, I do thank you. John Ford, famous director, he fought. He would later go on to be a rear admiral. I didn't know this, in the United States Navy Reserve. He was a director of The Longest Day, Tora, Tora, Tora. We all remember that. Midway. We all remember those movies. He was wounded during the Battle of Midway and received the Purple Heart. I didn't know that. Here's another one. Alec Guinness. How about that? Long before, he helped save the galaxy from the evil Empire forces led by Darth Vader. Obi-Wan Kenobi was transporting British troops in a landing craft onto the beaches of Normandy. I did not know that. That was very interesting. He volunteered in the Royal Navy Reserve, but later found himself drafted into the real deal as bullets whizzed around him on that fatal day. Later, he would go on to perform in World War II movies, including the classic Bridge Over the River Kwai. That was a good movie. James Doohan. Wow. Scotty. Imagine that. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm sure he was probably saying that when he hit the beaches. Somebody beam me up. Get me the hell out of here. He was hit six times by machine gun bullets. Wow. Six times by machine gun bullets, including one which severed his right middle finger and a chest shot, which was stopped by his cigarette case. Wow. Shot six times. Machine gun fire. A lot of those machine gun fire, they were 50 cal bullets, man. You get shot in the chest with a 50 cal bullet, that cigarette case ain't going to do it. So, but nevertheless, you're still shot. Yogi Berra, this is the only one that I knew, a famous person that fought on that day. If you don't know who Yogi Berra is, well, he's a Hall of Fame catcher for the New York Yankees. He helped soften up German defenses and ran messages from Omaha Beach to Utah Beach. Imagine that. You're trying to carry messages. You're shooting, running, you're going crazy. I don't know how those guys did it. I really don't. Honest to God. I really don't know how they did that. They were probably just so... they had so much fear in them. They were probably numb, I guess. I'm just trying to imagine. But they did it. and they won. And for that, we are still free in this country. Even though Obama has done everything he can to take away our freedoms, we're still free. I'm free in my heart. I'm free in my mind. And I will always remain free in my heart and in my mind. And that's where freedom really is. Because you can't be free unless you are free in your mind and free in your heart. You can't do anything unless you have it in your mind and in your heart. It doesn't matter what it is. But Obama today, on his speeches, no, there was nothing from his heart. There was nothing from his soul. It all came out of his teleprompter. Whoever wrote that speech, you might want to find another career because your speech was boring. It was boring. It was long. It was pitiful. It was pathetic. It was uninteresting. It wasn't heartfelt. It was shallow and just absolutely disgusting. I'm sorry, but this president, look. We all know the things that he does. We all know the things that he's done. We all know the things that he wants to do. This man is not looking out for the best interests of the United States. Not at all. It is time to impeach. It is time to impeach. And for him to get up there, I mean, just disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. Speaking of disgraceful, look who just came on the line here. What are you doing?
Hey, welcome to the show, right?
Yeah, welcome to the program.
What's happening? I got
I'm talking about D-Day, man. This is an important discussion we got going on here.
Well, I'm trying to catch up. What's going on about it?
Well, I'm just going over all the famous people that were in that fought in the battle. Scotty from Star Trek, he got shot 6 times, one in the chest.
Huh.
The guy who played Obi-Wan Kenobi, he was there. He was fighting on there. Yogi Berra, you know who he is. He was transporting messages from Utah Beach to Omaha Beach. He was on there.
Never heard of him.
You never? Oh, you do too. You know Yogi Berra. Don't be dumb.
Of course I do.
Teddy Roosevelt Jr., he was a brigadier general. J.D. Salinger, who wrote Catcher in the Rye, he was on there. So that's the only people that I don't
read
very much either, but it is what it is. Yeah, your boy Kaepernickel, he just signed a multi-gazillion dollar deal.
Yeah,
so.
But it's weak. It's small. He's not getting a ton.
Well, I don't care. I'm not getting any money.
Which I don't think he deserves a ton. And you wait till you see him this year, he's going to go completely backwards. So
I don't care.
He doesn't deserve even what he got. But let's see. I'll give him his due.
Well.
Did your mother call in today?
No.
No, she said she was going to.
Well, I'm busy doing a show here, so.
Well, I know, but she said she was going to call the show.
Oh. Well, she hasn't. I got a lot of stuff covered here. I got, there's 37 whistleblowers. Are claiming retaliation because they're ratting on the VA. 37 of these people are whistleblowers, and they're trying to fix the system. Instead of having all these VAs, instead of having all these veterans put on these stupid secret lists so they don't get help, so they can clean their books and they can get off early for the weekend, and so they can get their little bonuses. Well, these people are blowing the whistle, and they're getting persecuted for it. So we're going to cover that. We got three states now are getting rid of Common Core. Your girlfriend, Dianne Feinstein, claims that there's no credible threat, no evidence of any credible threat to Murdaugh. None whatsoever. There was nothing.
You mean these guys that – you mean these – hey, wait, slow down. You mean these guys that they let go?
No, she's saying there was no threat to – she
doesn't
believe
me. I'm walking down the street here,
what
and I got
hell?
Cars coming, so I can't hear everything.
I can't
just
hear
bear
anything.
With me.
Get away from wherever you're at. I can't hear you.
I can't do that. Middle
what?
Of town.
I can't hear her. And people
well,
listening.
You know what? You need to get out of your ear so you can hear.
No. Look, people don't need to listen to a bunch of wind blowing.
Well, listen, I can't help that when the wind blows. I don't make the weather.
Then you're going to have to call from inside or something because it's very irritating.
Yeah, I got things to do, too. So anyways, are you talking about these guys that they let go of Guantanamo? Are those the guys you're talking about?
No. She said
no credible threat?
Listen. She said she doesn't believe that there was a credible threat that Bergdahl was going to die. I don't blame her. I don't either. But she's phony. And she's a liar. So. And military officials, they urged Obama not to trade the Talibans. They urged him.
Right.
Did he listen? No. No. Military didn't want anything to do with it. They, as far as they were concerned, he was a deserter, and he belonged to the town. And I don't blame him. I would have left him
now,
there.
Now, listen, too. I'm glad we got him. I'm glad we got an American back. We did it wrong. Now, these guys were in prison for a reason. So why are we letting them out for a deserter?
Well, I'd like to know why they haven't been tried, convicted, and hung. They should not be alive.
Well, it should happen quite a bit faster, yeah.
They should not be alive to be traded. They should not be alive to be traded. We should have gotten all
go
the
from there.
What do you mean? Look, no, these people, look, these are not, I mean, these are not just your average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, you know, liquor
I know who they are.
Robbers.
They're
I mean,
in there for a reason.
No, they shouldn't be alive. We should have extracted all the information we could out of them, and once we got everything we needed, then they should have been tried, convicted, and hung.
Cut the cranks.
They should be hung. They shouldn't be alive today. And they got another one now. He's vowing to get back into the fight. And you
of course
knew
they are. They
all
are.
Gonna get back. They're all going to get back there.
Absolutely. That's what they live for.
And these guys are—they're vowing, they're motivated now to kidnap more Americans.
Yeah.
To use them as ships so they can get the rest of their guys out of Guantanamo.
You know, liberals need to just take a step backwards and look at what they're doing. It's so wrong. They don't get it. I don't know why they don't get it. This is common
they're
sense,
lazy.
But they do not get it.
They have a lazy mind.
They want to be politically correct. For everybody, make everybody happy. Come on.
It's not happy. They want to make everybody miserable.
This whole world is not happy. Just live it and do it right.
Well, I think I think there's something mentally believe
they don't
this.
Get common sense.
No,
they don't get common sense.
I believe in my heart of hearts that it's a lazy mind to be a liberal. It's easy to be a liberal. First of all, you just argue with any kind of common sense whatsoever. And if it looks good,
common
sounds good, smells good,
make
it
sense
is.
To them.
There is no common sense in liberalism.
Yeah, they don't.
There's no
it.
Sense.
Well,
so they're going to come back. Secret documents now are declaring that this Bergdahl declared jihad against the United States. Now, he may have been doing that in his captivity, but he went to go specifically speak to them. They heard it on the radio. An American now is looking to speak to the Taliban.
I heard one story that the guy doesn't even speak English anymore.
Oh, that's BS. He does, too.
Well, whatever. That's neither here nor there, but
I wouldn't put it past him.
I
think what happened is I think that he went out looking for the Taliban and thought that they were going to welcome him with open arms, and they didn't. And he tried to escape at one point, and they found him like 5 days later, and they put him in a cage, like an animal. And then he was friends with them, and they were allowing him to target practice with them. So the military was watching him. They knew what was going on. So
yeah, he was next door.
Well, they had
he was literally next door. They had their eyes on everything.
Yeah, they knew
they
where
they
were.
They didn't want him.
Well, what they didn't want to do is they didn't want to risk the lives of any more soldiers to go get this guy. And I can't blame
him. Absolutely. Ridiculous. I don't know.
This one
we got to get some common sense. They just don't get it.
Look at this. 92,009,000 people are unemployed. And this administration wants to tell us that there's only, 6% unemployment?
6% that reported.
It's 37.2%.
Yeah, of course it is. I'm going to go, I'm going to say probably closer, and this is probably real accurate, 18 to 22%.
No, it's 37.2%.
And that is across the board. No, very difficult to get all that information correct. That's why I'm going with the 18 to 22, which is still way high, way high.
No, it's 92 million people are out of work. Do the math. That's well over 37%. That's 37%.
Well, there's a whole lot of reporting crap that goes on, too, you got to watch that.
It's almost 40%. 92 million, figure it out. Do the math. There's 325 million people. Not all of them are in the workforce. So you've got over a third of the United States unemployed. It's much higher than 18%. I'm reading the numbers right here. These are new numbers that just came out.
I wrote the numbers.
So
I wrote all the numbers. Anyways, no football news. There's zero going on. Manziel, of course, he's always in the news, and who cares? He's not going to start the first game. He won't start the first four games. Don't care if he ever starts a game. Doesn't matter to me. Don't like the Browns. Don't even like him anymore. I'm tired of him.
I got to get back to work here, man. We got a lot of ground to cover here.
One more thing. Peyton Manning had a sex change. I forgot to tell you that.
Yes, I know. Yeah, he turned into you.
All right, I'm going to go have a beer.
All right. We'll see you later.
See me?
I got a whole bunch of stuff to go. See me later. All right. He's done. I'm done. They're done. You're done. Everyone's done. Let's get to work here. Let's get into this Dianne Feinstein, which this woman is just a horrid, wretched creature from hell. The Senate Intelligence Committee chairwoman said she hasn't been convinced that there was a credible threat against the life of freed Army. He's not a sergeant. He is a private. I'm sick and tired of this media calling this man a sergeant. He's not a sergeant. I don't care if he was promoted. You're a traitor. You leave your post. You desert your post. You desert your fellow soldiers, your men. You don't deserve to be promoted. He's a private. Well, I don't believe that his health was in any kind of critical condition either. And you look at that video. I'm sorry, I didn't see anything on this video, and I'm sick and tired of reading reports. Oh, he looked pale, and he looked thin. And he looked this. No, he didn't. He did not look thin. He did not look pale. He looked rather healthy. Oh, but he was blinking his eyes. Well, to me, it looked like he had something in his left eye. Sometimes your eyelashes get all discombobulated, and you got to pull it out. That's all he was doing. But she says, I don't think there was a credible threat. Political Capital with Al Hunt, she was on the show with. It's going to air this weekend. She says, I have no information that there was. Senators were actually told on June 4th, a classified briefing. President Barack Obama's administration had received indications that Bergdahl's life was going to be jeopardized if the detainee exchange proceedings were disclosed or derailed, according to the official government statement, blah, 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 wants to remain anonymous. Well, to me, I think they told Obama, we're going to kill this guy if we don't get our prisoners back. Well, that's they're always going to threaten to kill. And they do kill. But Obama didn't want to lose him. He would have probably got hell for that, too. So he goes and trades the five worst men on planet Earth. Was it worth it? I don't know. It's very difficult. It's a very difficult, very touchy situation here. Like I said, I want to feel sorry for Mama. Daddy, I have no sympathy for. Mama, I want to, but I really just can't. I don't know what's going on with this family. I don't know what's going on with this president. I don't know what the hell's going on. But this was a mixed-up case from the very beginning. If they already knew where he was, and if they really had to get him out there, they should have gone in there militarily to get him instead of trading. If you were really that concerned that they were going to kill him, you should have gone in there. Yeah, he'd have probably died during the battle anyway. But we would have still had... He shouldn't have been there if he hadn't deserted his post and left his weapon and his helmet and his night goggles, if he hadn't left that behind and then lied about it and said he was at the latrine, which you see the pictures, the latrine was in the middle of the camp. So the chances of him being abducted are pretty slim. And why would you be walking around a camp without your helmet, without your gun? You wouldn't. So he left. He left to go to the Taliban, thought that they would be his friend. And it took him a while, but he finally made friends with them. But to trade the five worst men on planet Earth for this guy, no. I'm sorry, no. No. I know we say we don't negotiate with terrorists. Well, we shouldn't. But unfortunately, we do. But there's some negotiations you can't drop your drawers on. You can't give up on. Well, this guy does. Why? I don't know. She says there was no question that he was debilitated. There was no question that he was under stress. Blinking rapidly. Probably held in dark surroundings for a long period of time. Shut up, Ms. Feinstein. Blinking rapidly? It looked to me like he had something in his eye. That's what it looked like to me. It did not look like he was under stress. He actually looked pretty comfortable. It looked like to be having a rather casual conversation with the guy. Taliban guy's got his arm through the door in the open window there. He's patting him on his chest there. Probably saying, hey, I'm going to miss you, buddy, but, you know. Have a good trip, safe home, you know. They're just making excuses. That's all they're doing. I mean, when it comes down to it, this Dianne Feinstein, she won't go against the president. She's just trying to go out there. I don't know, maybe she's up for re-election this year. Who knows? She said the evidence was mixed as to whether Bergdahl was what some military members have claimed to be a deserter. How can that be mixed? What evidence do you have to suggest that he was not a deserter? Well, let's look at the evidence that suggests that he is a deserter. He gets done with his watch. While most of them are sleeping, this was about, I don't know, about 4 o'clock in the morning. He leaves his gun, his helmet. Before that, like a week before, a few days before, he mails all of his personal belongings home. He writes a letter saying he writes emails to his dad saying he hates America, he can't believe what they're doing over here, blah, 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 blah. He's talking about he wants to go walk out in the woods and go to China. Why China? I mean, I don't know. Maybe there was something screwy with this kid's head. Maybe he needs a psychiatrist. Maybe he needs, something, but... It doesn't matter. You took an oath. When you sign up for the military, you take an oath. You take an oath to uphold and defend that United States Constitution. And when you go to war, Well, you got to defend all your buddies because your buddies got to defend you. And when you desert them, well, you're putting their lives in danger. Feinstein also said she didn't know whether there was a necessary evidence to prosecute the five released detainees in a civilian court. What? Excuse me. Ms. Feinstein, what do you mean there's not enough evidence to prosecute these guys in a civilian court? Well, maybe not with this justice system. Or this Justice Department. It's not the system. It's the department. And the department head. That's the problem. There's enough evidence. There wasn't any evidence to try these guys. Every single one of those in Guantanamo Bay could be tried. They're killing Americans. They're attacking Americans. They're tyrants. They're bandits. These are not good people. They don't deserve freedom. They tried to take away our freedom. So they don't deserve it. There's enough evidence. And they shouldn't be tried in a civilian court in the first place. Screw that. Let the military try them. Then take them out and shoot them. You want to get rid of Guantanamo Bay? Well, you take every single one of those prisoners out and you put them on a firing squad. There. Doom. Done. We don't have any more prisoners. That's what I would do. I mean, that's me. But I'd still like to know why these five detainees were not tried, convicted, and hung already. That's what I'd like to know. And if we're going to get rid of that prison, what are we going to do with them all? Why? They shouldn't be allowed on American soil, as far as I'm concerned. They shouldn't even be allowed to look at the United States. Not even from a distance. They should not be allowed on American soil, period. They should not be allowed to step one foot. I don't care if they're in jail. I don't care where they are. They should not be allowed on American soil. Senior military officials had advised President Obama not to make the Taliban for Bergdahl trade. Well, do you think this president listens to the military? No. The claim adds to the picture that is emerging about the tense internal debate over whether to proceed with the freeing of five hardened Taliban leaders from Guantanamo in exchange for Private Bo Bergdahl. The Obama administration largely bypassed the intelligence community to greenlight the swap after such an exchange was first floated several years ago. Yeah, it was floated and poo-pooed. Nobody in Congress wanted anything to do with it except for the president. Maybe those five detainees are, I guess, old friends of his. Maybe he knew them when he was in Indonesia, when he went to Pakistan. Yeah, that's right. Remember that time when we weren't allowed to travel to Pakistan? American citizens were not allowed to travel to Pakistan. Well, guess who traveled to Pakistan during that time? This was in the 80s. That's right. Barack Hussein Obama. How did he do it? Well, you see, he didn't have an American passport. He had an Indonesian passport. Because this man is not an American citizen. If we had a responsible media, we could have stopped this man from... Well, then we'd have to be stuck with Hillary. Oh, God, what another mess. She wouldn't have been much better. Probably she would have been worse. That woman's incompetent. She's not nowhere near as intelligent as people have made her out to be. She's devious. There's a difference between being devious and intelligent. This woman is devious. She's all about her. She's not about anybody else. She's not about anything else other than her. If she benefits, it's good. If she doesn't, it's bad. That's how all Democrats are. This president signs this NDAA deal or NADD deal, whatever, that stupid, that law never should have even been drafted, much less debated on and then voted on and then signed into law. But the president claims he gives himself a little loophole here. Well, I'm going to sign this bill into law, but I don't like this, this, and this, so I'm not going to follow it. So where's my pen? Yeah, we're signed up. It doesn't work that way. You sign a law, or you sign a bill into law, you have to follow it. Otherwise, don't sign it. If you didn't like parts of the law, parts of the bill, you should have said, no, I'm not going to sign it because I don't like this, this, and this. Now, whether people want to have line item veto power or not, you know, that's a discussion. I can see the benefits, but I can also see the disadvantages of it. You could have a, I mean, look, that's why I think for the betterment line item veto, I know Clinton wanted to have it. But I can understand why you would want that, because some bills are written by Congress that are just so whacked out, and they put all this extra stuff in there that has no business being in there. I mean, they can't even reopen the government after being closed for a couple of weeks or a couple of a month or whatever it was. They can't even reopen the government without throwing pork into the mix. So in order to get the government back open, Kentucky Senator Mr. McConnell gets a multi-million dollar pork sandwich to build a friggin' bridge. The government was shut down because we were spending too much money. So in order to get the government back up and running again, we've got to spend billions more. Doesn't even make any sense. And Republicans, if you were going to shut that government down, I'm still pissed. I'm still pissed off about this. They had the perfect opportunity, hand-delivered, the most perfect opportunity on a platinum platter, studded in diamonds. And all they had to do was hold the line and say one magic word, no. That's all they had to say was no. And they didn't, because they're cowards. Well, looks like now my mother's on the phone here. Let me see if I can push the right button. Good evening, Mother.
Oh, you knew it was me.
Well, because I can see the phone numbers on here.
Oh, well, I just wanted to call and say hi. And did you have a good day?
Yeah, I had a fairly decent day. It was fairly decent here today. It was kind of not really warm, but not really cold. We still haven't got a summer.
Oh, we're warm. Got 76 I think 78. And dummy me, I went out and bought 14 plants. Well, you know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I got them all planted, and it looks nice. So you have to come back home and get some sunshine.
Well, we certainly don't have it here in New York.
So what are you guys talking about?
I'm talking about everything today. I'm talking about D-Day. I already covered on that.
Heart.
All the famous people that fought in the battle. I covered some stuff on, you know, some little tidbits that I found here and there. You know, stuff that, you know, nobody really talks about. I tried finding some stuff, but, you know, not too much, you know, but all the numbers of the troops, of how many people died. I mean,
thousands.
The invasion. And
it was, bless their hearts.
And Anne Frank, I didn't know that, but Anne Frank was actually listening on her secret radio, listening to the BBC when she was in prison. Or
yeah.
She was actually, at this point, I don't know if she was in prison or she was still in her ghetto. They were still hiding from wherever she was, but she had a secret radio, and she wrote about it in her diary. She was listening to the D-Day invasion, and she wrote about it in her diaries. I didn't know that. I thought that was
funny. I didn't either. Where do you get all these little tidbits?
I get stuff here and there. Just look up here, look up there, pay attention, read, listen, and they get all kinds of stuff from all over the place, but 17 million maps. There's over almost 10,000 graves. And I knew that. I mean, there's a lot of graves all over Europe.
Yeah.
Most of them, they don't even know who the hell they are. I mean, they were torn up so bad, but...
They were, well, Grandpa Rude said that when he was sent up to Fort Lewis, bodies would come in, and he said you couldn't identify them.
Of course.
But they just put them in a coffin and let the family think that...
I don't know how he was a mortician. I mean, well, if he had not, I mean, there was all
Well,
kinds
because
of,
they, yeah... They called him out of retirement.
No, I know. I'm just saying I don't know how he did that. I mean, day in and day in and day in and day in, you got to see these bodies that are coming in that are just blown to bits. I mean, after a while, that's gotta play on you, you would think.
It would on me, but bless his heart, he was the kindest little old man.
He told me the story of him when he met with General Patton. In World War One, he was a foot soldier. World War Two, he was, I think he was a cook, and I think he was in Patton's army as like a cook or something. And then in Vietnam and Korea, he was a mortician. So he had quite a military career.
Yes, he did.
That's
he was a career soldier.
He
almost lived to be 100.
Well, yeah, he was, what, 99 in just a few days from being 100?
Yeah. Bless his heart.
So.
He had a good life with Grandma Rude.
No.
Bless his heart.
I mean, he was a veteran of four wars.
Four wars, Spanish, American, and...
No, World War One, World War Two, Korea, and Vietnam.
Right.
One's enough. One war is enough, you know. But yeah, we're also
talking about enough.
We're also talking about this Bergdahl. This guy, I'm flat sick and tired of hearing. I'm sick and tired of talking about this guy. But there's more information that keeps coming out every day. This story, we haven't even broken the surface yet of this story.
No, I don't think we have, but. You know, I don't understand it, and in time, I suppose they'll tell us why they wanted him out of there.
Well, I firmly believe the Taliban said we're going to kill him, get our guys back, and so our president just dropped his drawers, surrendered, and said, okay, here they are.
Well, it is our policy to...
Well, I look...
If you're a prisoner...
I know.
It's written. They have to, you know... But
well,
I'm sure...
Well.
I'm sure our people know exactly where those prisoners are.
Well, there's only one. There is no more prisoners left, but they knew where he was at.
No. Those that we traded for, I'm sure.
No. They
our
don't,
forces.
We have no monitoring capabilities in Qatar. We're not allowed. We're not allowed to monitor them. They are. And they've already made the vow to go back into the fight.
Well, those
they're going to go back into the fight. The chances of them staying in Qatar for the full year
is a joke. They won't.
That's a total joke. And even if they do, what's the big deal? They can go around anywhere they want to. They flew their families in. They're living good right now. I mean, they're living good. And these are the five.
Well, aren't they going to be surprised when? They don't get, what is it, 70 virgins, but they have to meet up with Satan? Aren't they going to be in for a big surprise?
Well, if we're lucky, they can get 72 Satans. How about that?
Yeah. That works for me.
I don't get that whole 72 virgin thing. Why 72?
I don't know.
I mean,
and I really...
You're going to go that many? I mean, just go the full 100. I mean, 72 doesn't even make sense. You know, if you want to go 75, okay, but 72?
I don't know what that is, and I really am not interested in finding out. I I'm not going to study that.
Well, I love women and all, but 72 of them could get a little. And I'm sure the same with women. If they had to be around 72 men for the rest of their
life. Well, remember what I told you. You'll go blind.
That's why I can't see. That's why I can't read it.
That's why you can't see.
Well,
babe, I would love to talk with you more, but I have to help Granny, so.
All right. Well.
She needs to get up and go down the hallway.
Well, I'm covering all kinds of stuff here today. And
well, bless your heart. Well, you have a good evening and a good day tomorrow. I'm going to ball games.
Uh-huh.
Braden has two.
That's right. Today is Friday.
Yeah.
Well, tell the fam hi for me. And
I will, dear.
And tell Granny hi for me. Tell her I love her.
I will. She loves you, too. So I'll talk to you later, and I love you much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good one. It was fun.
Bye-bye.
Well,
all right. Well, I got a mother calling. I wonder who else is going to be calling here tonight. That's all right. Keep it calling. But we got to get back to work here. All right. Where are we? Where did we leave off? Where are we? Boom, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Yeah, we know the military didn't want to train them. Blah, 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 blah. These things just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. So now we've got the Taliban commanders now vowing to get back into the fight. We've got to kill more Americans. We haven't killed enough of them. We need to kill more of them. And if you criticize Islam, well, now President Obama is going to throw you in jail. But they can criticize Jesus. They can criticize Buddha. They can criticize anybody they want to. But God forbid if you criticize that prophet Muhammad. Well, you'll be thrown in jail. That's hate speech. Oh, really? One of the five Taliban leaders freed from Guantanamo Bay, and I flat refuse to read his name. I don't read terrorist names. They don't, as far as I'm concerned, they don't deserve to have their name being mentioned over the airwaves. And I won't do it. Well, they've returned, or they have vowed to return to the fight in Afghanistan. I don't really think that Qatar is going to be making a whole lot of effort to keep these guys in Qatar. I don't really think they're going to make a whole bunch of effort to monitor them, monitor their phone calls. Well, maybe the NSA can monitor their phone calls. Maybe we can do it that way. But they're too busy monitoring the American people's phone calls. Monitoring your tweets and your Facebook posts. And that's what they're doing. I seen a story. Where was that I seen? God dog it. But these phone companies now are putting these things in your phones that automatically is being monitored by the NSA. Now, personally, I mean, I don't understand why they need to monitor that many phone calls. Unless it's for devious reasons. They want to find out, like people like me, who have no problems whatsoever in criticizing this president, this government, Muhammad, anybody. I don't care who you are, man, woman, child, or beast. If you are deserving of criticism, you're going to get it. If you're not deserving of it, you're not going to get it. It's that damn simple. Well, after arriving in Qatar, this terrorist, and that's all he is, and I won't mention his name, kept insisting he would go to Afghanistan and fight American forces there. And he was talking to NBC News via telephone from Afghanistan. This was a Taliban commander that they were talking to. Well, the NBC, and this is what I don't get, how is NBC in contact with the Taliban? Why? Is it? I mean, I guess I can understand why NBC would want to be in contact with the Taliban, but why is NBC in contact with the Taliban? They're a news organization. I know they want to get the scoops, but it just seems a little, I don't, I'm trying to look for the right word. Unethical doesn't quite do it. But I'd like to know why NBC is in contact with the Taliban. I don't like that. There's something that doesn't seem right to me. Maybe I'm overdoing it. Maybe I'm looking too deep into it. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But I got a problem with a news organization in direct contact with our enemy. I mean, I'm just saying. He pushed to return to Afghanistan after learning that the U.S. had provided written assurances that no country would arrest any of the five freed for a year as long as they lived peacefully. So Obama wrote it down and provided written assurances. Here it is, signed with the president's magic pen, that no country is going to arrest you. Maybe we could send a sniper to Qatar and shoot him that way. That's what I'd like to know. Maybe we can do that. Where's Jack Bauer? That's what we need. We need Jack Bauer to go to Qatar and torture him. Under the terms of the deal, the former commanders would remain under the control of the government of Qatar, which I don't trust the government of Qatar. And if you do, well, maybe you should move there. Under the control of government of Qatar for 1 year and be subject. It doesn't mean that it will be. It means you're subject to it, which means they don't have to if they don't want to. To restrictions on their movement and activities. This is a joke. This is just, the more I think about this, just the more angry I get. I feel hurt. I guess that's the real word. I feel betrayed. I feel like my country let me down. That's what I feel like. I know that may be kind of selfish, but I feel betrayed. That's how I feel. I feel betrayed by not only this president, but this entire administration, and actually the government in a whole. But more with this president and this particular administration. I mean, yeah, Bush had some problems, and Clinton had some problems, and Daddy Bush had problems, Reagan had problems, Carter had a slew of problems, Nixon had his problems, they all had problems, Kennedy, Johnson, who got us into Vietnam. Well, Kennedy got us into Vietnam, but Johnson put the big forces in there. I know they've all had their problems, but this administration, I'm sorry, but I feel betrayed. I feel let down by my government. I've got a beautiful document right here. This manuscript is just absolutely gorgeous. I love this Constitution of the United States. I love the Bill of Rights that's connected to the Constitution. I love the Bill of Rights. I love freedom. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not embarrassed to say that I love freedom. I respect it. I honor it. But what this president has done to every single American, our country, our Constitution, our founding principles, our way of life, our quality of life, our actual lives, I feel betrayed. I feel betrayed. You let us down, Mr. President. You let us down. You let the country down. And you're too goddamn naive to realize you let yourself down. But one of these creeps' relatives said, quote, "We thought we may not see them again, and once you land in the hands of Americans, it's difficult to come out alive." But it was a miracle that Allah Almighty gave us Bergdahl and we got back our heroes. They look at these men as heroes. Of course they do. Look, this jihad stuff is real. And it's all over the world. It's not just in the Middle East. It's in Europe. It's in Australia. and it is living well and growing faster by the day in the United States. And this president seems to be sympathizing with these people, facilitating weapons deals with Al-Qaeda. That's what happened in Benghazi. That's why Benghazi was attacked. It was not about a video. It was about weapons. All about weapons. And not just little pop guns. We're talking weapons. Surface-to-air missiles. They can do a lot of damage. They can take planes out of the sky. They can shoot buildings. Well, something went wrong. They realized they were going to get caught doing weapons deals, so they tried getting them back. And the Turkish ambassador, I'm sorry, but I think Turkey was in on the deal. I think they knew something was going on. They got reports that there was no security anywhere. There were people taking pictures. They were pacing the place. They knew what they were doing before they attacked. They had that well planned and well orchestrated. And for whatever reason, why our government wanted to get rid of security, just to make it look like, oh, see, we're your friends. We don't need security. Well, you need security everywhere. I mean, this guy right here in our own country, I mean, he can't cross the street and go get himself an ice cream cone without just hundreds of security officials, if not thousands. I just don't understand why they are doing this. Why would we even have any communication with Al-Qaeda? First of all, we don't need to communicate with them. Stop shooting us and we'll stop shooting you. That's how it works. But since this war is going on, we're going to continue shooting you until every one of you are dead. There's no conversation. We don't need to have a conversation with these people. They need to give up the fight. That's it. We need to get back to that and have that inside where we're motivated to win. World War II, they were motivated to win. American people were behind them. The soldiers were behind it. Everyone came together to fight. I think Vietnam screwed that up. I think there was still, you know, people were all, you know, gung-ho with Korea, but that was a short little burst. But I think Vietnam really did that. I really believe that. I remember watching a lot of it on TV when I was a kid, all the stuff going on with it. So I really believe, and I knew what was going on. The American people were not behind Vietnam. They were not behind Vietnam. Why we had to get in there and fight that, I don't know. I know it's communism, but there's communism all over the world. I just sometimes don't understand why we have to do the things that we do in this country, and we simply can't learn from our mistakes. But this war on terror is not going to go away anytime soon. You think this war on terror is going to be over with when we get out of Afghanistan in 2016? Think again. Think again. The war on terror is going to last until they end the war, meaning they stop fighting. Well, with all of their troops that they have all over the world, they have jihadis all over Europe, all over Australia, all over Asia, and getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day in the United States. This war on terror is not going to go away. No matter how friendly this president gets with the enemy, this war is not going to be over anytime soon. We don't have communications with these people. We don't talk to them. We don't make deals with them. We kill them. That's what we do to them. We kill them. And those that are in Guantanamo Bay, you need to be tried, convicted, and hung. These five men that were traded for this deserter, Private Bergdahl, should not be alive today to be traded. And now the Taliban is going out of their way now. You know for a fact they're planning assaults. Every one of those soldiers that are out there, they've got to be on extra high alert now. They're on a patrol. They shouldn't lag behind. I mean, you've got to stick together. So I wonder if this president and Valerie Goebbels, who I'm sure was probably instrumental in this, obviously they did not think about the consequences. They are already coming out saying they're going to go back to Afghanistan. They're not going to stay in Qatar. And then what's going to happen? Well, we try to recapture them again, and then what? Well, then we'll close Guantanamo Bay and set them free again. This is going to blow up. This is going to blow up and blow up big. And again, this president's not going to be punished for it. American people are going to be punished for this, not him. This is yet just another reason to impeach this president. He already committed treason in Benghazi. Soon as you find out that your embassy is on fire and your ambassador is nowhere to be found and you're being attacked by mortars and machine guns, God only knows what they were using. The moment you find out that your embassy, American soil, and your ambassador is nowhere to be found, that's because he was in a room getting raped and cattle prodded and tortured and burnt. So this guy goes up and eats. He was AWOL. He deserted his post. You hear that, Mr. President? You deserted your post. You are a deserter. You deserted the country. You have deserted our way of life. You deserted our quality of life. You deserted our founding document, the United States Constitution. You deserted your post and went upstairs to eat. When our embassy is being attacked, American soil, lives are being lost. And you wanted to go eat. They couldn't bring a goddamn sandwich down to the Situation Room for you? You had to go upstairs and eat one of Michelle's home-cooked tofu salad meals? Oh, that's right. They only want you to eat that stuff. They're eating cheeseburgers and pizzas and tacos and all kinds of good stuff. But if you're a kid in school, you get this tiny little roll and a little bit of God only knows what it is. I don't know if you've ever seen these pictures of some of these meals, but they're pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Even the kids that are getting it for free, they're choosing not to eat it. One, there's not enough of it, and two, it's gross. It's disgusting meals. A government, you've got no business being in the schools. Okay? It's not up to you to decide how teachers teach. It's not your job. It's not your role. Nor is it your role to force people to eat a certain way. Now, if you want to eat a certain way, you knock yourself out. Eat any way you want to. It's your body. You put whatever you want to in your body. If you don't want to eat it, then don't. If you do, then do. They're trying everything they can to take the parenting out of the parent. They don't want citizens. They want robots. Mind-numbing robots. They don't want you to think. They want you to simply be programmed. Do whatever you're told to do, when you're told to do it, exactly how you're told to do it. They don't want you to have freedom. They're doing everything they can now to rewrite that First Amendment. We need to get back to Senate. We need more seats in the House, and we need to get back that Senate. If we get back to Senate, we get more seats in the House, maybe we could do a legitimate, a real impeachment process. But I don't have any real faith in John Boehner. This is my problem. I don't have faith in the Republican leadership. I don't have faith in Boehner. I don't have faith in McConnell. I don't have faith in any of these guys. And now it looks like Trey Gowdy. I mean, I'm still trying to find out what's going on with that. I don't know what the hell the deal is with that. I think he himself can do a good job, but I don't trust the leadership in the Republican Party, John Boehner, the stupid Speaker of the House. He's going to put restrictions after restrictions after restrictions. Oh, don't rock the boat. Don't talk about impeachment. We got an election coming up. No. This has nothing to do with elections. I'm sick and tired of hearing about elections. I'm sick and tired of hearing about these freaking midterms. What's going on in this country has nothing to do with elections. And if you're that worried about your election, you don't deserve to win it. You should be more concerned with doing your job. And if you do your job and you do it good, you'll get reelected. You don't get reelected just so you can get reelected again and then work on getting reelected again. You're there to do a job, but there's no accountability in government. I mean, if we're going to add another amendment, we need to add an accountability amendment into the Constitution. I don't care that you got a union. What does that mean? You got a union. You can't be fired. Yeah, but you're incompetent. You cost people's money and lives and this and that, but you can't be fired. Well, why? Well, because you got a union. Oh, I see. Look, I don't care what you do. Any job that you get, if you're incompetent, you can't do your job, you don't do your job, or you screw it up to the point where people lose their lives. That's right. People did lose their lives in Benghazi there, Mr. President. Those were real people. That ambassador, he was a real guy, yeah. And Tyrone Woods, yeah, he was real too. Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, both real people. Believe it or not, they had blood, they had a brain, they had a heart, they had feelings, they had emotions, they had loved ones, they had family. And friends, they're real people. They walked, they talked. They weren't just a number. And God knows the amount that were actually injured. We don't know the real numbers. We're never going to find out the real numbers. According to Hillary Clinton in her new book, which she doesn't write these books. She doesn't write any of them. I doubt very seriously she even read them. She doesn't write these books. They're ghostwritten. These are propagandists. That's all. But she's saying that we're never going to find out all the clarity of what happened in Benghazi. Of course we're not, because you people won't tell us. You won't tell the truth. Even though you're the most transparent administration in American political history. We just can't get any information from them. Because they're so transparent. Getting back here, the Taliban commander in, I guess, Quetta, I guess is how you pronounce it, whatever, said that he was in touch with his men in Qatar, and they decided not to talk with the five commanders about their imprisonment. We decided not to disturb them by asking them about their ordeals, as we know it will invoke the worst of their time in prison. What? Huh? Getting a pair of panties on your head? Huh? You get three meals and they're all cooked a certain Taliban way. You're allowed to wear your little hats and do your little prayers. You guys are not mistreated. Please. Please. These men were not mistreated. They're living better than our veterans. They're living better than 92 million people who are out of work. The sniffles, boy, I tell you, they're in Guantanamo. They got their doctors right there, and they're fixing them up. But if you're a veteran, you get put on a secret list. You don't deserve that help. Plus, you're mentally ill because you're a veteran. I still can't believe that they're sending these letters out to veterans, telling them they're not allowed to have a gun, they're not allowed to transport a gun or ammunition. I mean, these people will stop at nothing to get rid of that Second Amendment. Chuck Schumer will stop at nothing to get rid of that First Amendment. They don't like that. That restricts them. Yeah, that's the point. That's the point of the Constitution. Maybe if you, well, I don't know, paid attention in school and understood why we fought the Revolutionary War, the events leading up to the Revolutionary War, that would give you a good indication of why the Bill of Rights was written. Took them, what, 4 years to figure out the Bill of Rights? 4 years. I don't know why it took that long. It shouldn't have. But they wanted to make sure they got it right. And as far as I'm concerned, they did. They got it right. They got it right. And there's reasons for every one of those amendments. Those Bill of Rights are in the Constitution for a reason. If you don't like them, I don't know what to tell you. Other than, wah, I don't want to hear it. You don't like this country? Then leave. Move. Go join the Taliban. See if they'll welcome you with open arms. All these people in the United States talk about Europe, 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 Europe. Well, look, I got nothing against Europe. Nothing at all. I just don't want to live like them. I don't care how they live their life. They can live their life any way they want to. It's their life. But we're not European. We're American. We have our own way of life. We have our own way of life for a reason. They're our reasons. I respect those reasons. I honor those reasons. I love those reasons. We're a free people. I know there's a lot of countries that are, you know, free, semi-free. That's fine. Look, I got nothing against England. Why? I mean, England is England. But I could not live my life the way they live their life. If I was brought up in England, yeah. I wouldn't know any different. But I wasn't brought up in England. I'm not criticizing England. I'm not bad-mouthing England. I certainly don't want to attack England. I don't want to attack Europe. But I'm sick and tired of people in America. They talk about Europe, 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 and we have to live like Europe. They think that they get Europe has a free health care. And if you get sick, all you got to do is find a hospital somewhere, walk in, and get fixed. Wrong. Wrong. It's very, very expensive. And there is no real care. Just like what Obamacare is. You think what's happening with the VA? You think that's bad? Well, wait till it comes to you. Wait till you're put on a secret list. Wait till you die because you can't get any medical attention. Wait till you get seriously injured and you go into an emergency room and they send you home because they have no doctors to fix you. Yeah, but I got a broken arm. Huh? Looks like it's going to hurt for a while. Come back next week and we'll see if we can fit you in. And if you need an MRI, well, we'll see in a year or two. Maybe we'll get an MRI. What's happening in the VA right now is just a precursor to what is going to happen to Obamacare in the United States. Obamacare is a reason by itself, first of all. As far as I was concerned, the way it was passed illegally. Did we have the proper votes in the Senate? No, we didn't. The Senate Majority Leader, Mr. Harry Reid, decided, wait a minute, Democrats, we can't win. We don't have enough votes. Oh, here's an idea. I'll just change the rules of the Senate and just make it 51 instead of the required 60. And then we can win. Well, what if you don't have 51? What if you've only got 49? So I guess you just change the rules. As long as one Democrat votes for it, then it's passed. Is that what you're going to do next, Mr. Reid? Obamacare was not passed legitimately. It was not passed legitimately. It never should be a law. I don't call it a law, it's a bill. The president, I'm sorry, but he could be impeached just with Obamacare. Not only the way it was passed, not only the way it was written, but the way it was implemented. And it still isn't even implemented yet. That website's not even completely built yet. It's not secure. There's going to be a lot of problems coming up here in the future. People are going to get their identities taken from them, drained. All the records, they won't have any records. They're going to go to a hospital. They got a little card here that says that they got insurance. They're going to go to the hospital. No, you don't have insurance. We don't have a record of it. We got nothing. Yeah, but what do? Can I get help? No. Oh, you're an illegal alien. Oh, well, you don't need any of that stuff. Come on in. Oh, you're a veteran? Well, we're going to have to put you on this list over here. This is a special list. Yeah. What this man did, with what went on with the IRS, cannot convince me under, no matter what. I don't care what you say to me. I don't care what evidence you show me. There is no way you could possibly convince me that this president did not know what was going on with the IRS. Cannot believe that for one second. It is impossible for me to believe that he had no idea what was going on, that the IRS was targeting Tea Party members. I don't buy that Lois Lerner was a rogue employee. And if she does want immunity, that's fine. We'll give you immunity. However, you're going to have to actually spill the beans. And you're going to have to give up the big dogs, Eric Holder and Barack Obama. Those are the big dogs. They were definitely involved. I don't buy that for a second that they weren't. I also don't buy the fact that Obama didn't know what was going on with Fast and Furious. Found out that his attorney general was doing this cockamamie deal, allowing weapons to get into the hands of Mexican drug cartels. He should have been fired immediately. Actually, if I would have done that, I would have been arrested. I'd still be in jail for the rest of my life. I mean, this Justice Department will put people into prison for the rest of their life for pot. And this guy's going to go out and put weapons in the hands of the meanest, most villainous people next to the Taliban. And he gets contempt, which means what? Which means you've got a piece of paper that says you're in contempt that's sitting in a file room somewhere collecting dust. Then when you get to Benghazi, the president goes AWOL, deserts his post to go up to eat. The moment that he finds out that our embassy is being attacked and our ambassador is missing, he should be impeached for that. He should be in jail for that. Deserters have to go to jail. In wartime, it's death. If it's not wartime, you go to jail for 5 years. That's like the minimum. Mr. Obama, I'm sorry. I'm not afraid to say it, but yeah, I'd tell you right to your face. You deserve to be impeached, and you deserve to go to prison for what you've done. You deserve to go to prison for what you've done. You deserve to be taken out of society. You have destroyed the American society. You have destroyed our way of life, our quality of life. You do not follow our laws. You change the laws so it best suits you. Well, those laws are in there for a reason, because they best suit the American people, not you. The Constitution was not written to please the president. That's not why the Constitution was written. The Constitution was written to keep the president from pleasing himself. And I still don't buy this cockamamie executive order power. It's bogus. Do I believe the president should have certain powers? Yeah. Yeah. But those powers need to be expressly written. And written in a way where it is impossible. Impossible to not follow it. That will never happen. I know. That's on my wish list. Will I get it? Probably never. But if you can't define specifically the executive order privileges of a president, then he shouldn't have any at all. Period. I don't care if George Washington did it. I don't care. This executive order privilege has gotten out of control. So if we're going to give our president certain powers, which again, I think we can all come to a conclusion that a president would need some certain powers to do some certain things. However, not everything. And you can't just make up what you want as law. Well, that's not law. This is law. Well, I don't like this law, so I'm not going to follow it. Well, I don't like that law, so I'm not going to follow it. Well, I like this law, but I only like this part of the law. And I know this isn't even a law, this isn't even written, but I like it, so I'm going to do it. Because it best suits me and the Democratic Party. Who cares about the American people? As long as the Democrats win, we're fine. We're okay. We're doing just fine. As long as the Democrats get all the money, that's fine. But if the Koch brothers, they give a dollar to them Republicans, well, we got to shut that entire First Amendment down. We got to do something with them Koch brothers. Get the IRS on them. Send out the EPA. I hate that EPA. That EPA, I know everybody talks about, well, if I was president, if I was this and I was that, yeah. That EPA needs to go. And if I were president, that's the first thing that I would do. The EPA would be gone. Gina McCarthy, you would be unemployed. You would be 92 million and one of the amount of people out of work in this country. I mean, you could if you really wanted and you really wanted to. I mean, you could make a legitimate argument that what Gina McCarthy, head of the EPA, is doing, we all know it's violating the Constitution, because there's nothing in the Constitution that says the EPA has the right to make law and policy. There's nothing in there. But she herself, which they're afraid to put out the new regulations now. They don't want to make those public because, well, the election hasn't come yet. So they're going to hide these new laws and procedures and all this stuff. They're going to do the best they can to hide them so the American people don't see it. But you see, the American people aren't stupid. They think this is how stupid these people are. They think that we're stupid, but we're not stupid. American people pays attention. More and more Americans are starting to listen, starting to learn, starting to focus, starting to pay attention. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, I didn't know they were doing that. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. That's this, that's that. I mean, Howard Stern now. Howard Stern finally woke up. He flat refuses to vote for a Democrat ever again. What took you so long, Howie? That's what I'd like to know. I like Howard Stern. I don't know him personally, but I mean, show's his show. You don't like it, don't listen to it. But I want to know what the hell took you so long. I'd like to know why all these Jews, or so many Jews, are Democrat. Democrats hate Jews. I don't understand how a Jew could be a Democrat. That doesn't make any sense to me. Democrats don't like Jews. And it's weird, but a lot of American Jews out here, Democrat Jews, they don't like Israel. I'm not saying that every Jew has come from Israel. I mean, it's a religion. But I don't get that. I don't understand that. A lot of that stuff just doesn't make any sense to me. The Democrats, they look at the Taliban, I don't know what they, how they look at them, but they seem to be a lot more sympathetic to these people than they really should be. They should get no sympathy. None. None of them. They should not be treated with any amount of respect, any amount of dignity. They have no dignity. They have no respect for you. They have no real respect or dignity for life. They don't appreciate life. And we're supposed to give them respect and compassion? Compassion? Every one of those five Talibans that were released, they should not be alive today to be traded. And if we really want to get rid of that prison, I still believe we want to get rid of the prison. Okay, fine, let's get rid of the prison. There's only one way to get rid of the prisoners. That's to kill them. They'd kill us. If we only got two choices. Either they stay behind bars for the rest of their life, or they gotta lose their life. Because if we let them out, there's going to be Americans losing their lives. Now, to me, American life is a hell of a lot more important than a Taliban life. But that's just me. But see, you can't say that. That's hate speech. Now, the government was listening to me. Now, I guess I'm going to have to go to jail now for hate speech against the Taliban, against Islam. Personally, I don't care what religion you believe in. To me, religion, it's not so much a religion that I have a problem with. It's what you do with that religion. However, there are Muslims now coming out that are Muslims, actual Muslims. They're complaining about Islam. They're saying Islam is no longer a religion, but it's a political, it's a political party, a political movement. And if you look at the evidence, yeah, it is. Taliban is tyranny. If you're a man and your beard isn't long enough, well, you have to be thrown in jail until your beard grows to a certain length. Of course, you're going to be beaten and whipped and tortured. And if you're a woman and you accidentally show part of your ankle in public, well, then you're beaten in public. And if you're raped, it's your fault for being raped, especially if you're gang raped. See, because you put out that special powers and you made that man rape you. It's not the man's fault that he couldn't control his urges. It's the woman's fault for putting those urges in the man's mind. So this woman that was gang raped now has to be stoned. Being gang raped wasn't enough. And a lot of them are homosexuals. They do like to rape men. I don't know what's going on with that. I guess if you have sex with a man in an aggressive manner where you're going to use sex as torture, I guess that's okay. But if a man has sex with another man in a pleasurable manner rather than used as for torture, well, then you got to get hung. I mean, I don't understand where these people are coming from. Everything about these jihadis is like the liberals. Everything about them is hypocrisy. There's no structure. It's very arbitrary and baseless. And whatever works at the time is what works. We don't have to follow rules. We make up our own rules as we go along. You see, if we benefit, then it's good. And if we don't benefit, well, then it's bad. It doesn't matter what it is. Thirty-seven VA whistleblowers claim retaliation. Dozens of Veterans Affairs workers who have now come forward with stories of mismanagement and patient abuse There's a lot of patient abuse. I don't understand. That's another thing that I just, my mind cannot process this. You're a doctor. You're a nurse. Why would you want to be a doctor? Why would you want to be a nurse? Well, to help people. Yeah, but you're not helping people. You're hurting people. And if they don't do what you want to do, well, then you torture them. You hit them. You tie them up. Stories of mismanagement and patient abuse say they have faced retaliation within the scandal-scarred agency. In one case, a VA employee with a spotless record for over 20 years was suspended after reporting patients had been inappropriately restrained. I don't understand this infatuation with, I mean, law enforcement, when they go to a call, anytime they have any kind of communication with a citizen, somebody's got to get a ticket, somebody's got to get tasered, somebody's got to get hit with a stick, somebody's got to get shot, somebody's got to go to jail. Well, that's not your job, cop. Your job is not to arrest and kill first and then ask questions later. Your job is to protect the American people. If there's no threat anywhere, well, then you leave whatever's going on alone and you go find a threat. Just because you get called out to a call doesn't mean somebody's got to go to jail. That's not doing your job. We got too many people in jails. We don't have enough room for the people that actually should be in jail. Nonviolent offenses, pot, you don't need to spend the rest of your life in jail for pot. Marijuana is not man-made. Planet Earth makes it. Planet Earth makes marijuana. Fine, if you want to outlaw it, you want to do this, okay, that's fine. But life in prison for marijuana, no. No. I guess that's a libertarian part of me. But I don't care if you do drugs or not. I don't care. Alcohol kills more people than marijuana. Marijuana doesn't kill people. You can't OD on marijuana. You don't get violent with marijuana. But you certainly do with alcohol. And you can certainly OD with alcohol. Alcohol, cocaine, heroin, PCP, all this crap. It's all man-made. And personally, I don't care if you use it or not. As long as you are not directly affecting somebody in a negative way, other harming them physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, anyway, you should be able to do it. I'm sorry. Freedom should be freedom. I believe in freedom. I don't associate people who do cocaine and heroin. But I don't care if they do it. They're not affecting me by shooting heroin into their eyeball. They're affecting themselves. Now, again, if it's a family member or somebody I know, yeah, I want to step in and help them. Why wouldn't I? But if it's somebody I don't know, I don't care what you do in your life. That's your life. You have the right to live your life your way. Right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, it is up to you to manage your life, not the government. Not your neighbors, not your teachers, not your boss, nobody but you. We have to start taking responsibility for our own lives. And that's what's missing in this country. And now we got to pull into port. We're running out of time here. I want to thank everybody who was listening tonight, everyone in the chat room, everyone on the smartphones. And I definitely want to thank every one of those soldiers, every one of those men that fought on D-Day, fought for me. I want to personally thank you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be speaking here tonight. And if I was, I would not be speaking English. So for that, I thank you. And with keeping in the spirit of D-Day, I want to play this little song. This was one of the biggest songs in that era. And we will see you back here Monday night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.
From our Chicago way, he had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his. clap. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cat went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He makes the company jump, and he's the bar. He's the boogie boogie bugle boy of Company B. Toot 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 da da, toot toot da da, toot toot. He goes today to the bar. He can blow a note if the bass and guitar isn't with him. The company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie boogie bugle boy of Company B. He puts the boys to sleep with boogie every night and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet. Bye.